This is going to be a little bit of a short show because I don't have a tremendous amount of old business. I don't know what you got for new business.
We got a little bit.
We don't have a whole lot of births and deaths, but we do have a lot to talk about on the Halloween show. But then we need to get to freaking work because we're
getting close.
Have a pounding nail sound effect in the background, whatever. Anyway, welcome to Scary Dad Podcast and the Scary Dad's Haunted Halloween Show. Discussion part 2 for 2019. This is episode 148 of the Scary Dad Podcast. I think 149 is probably going to be a throwback because next week we are actually doing the Halloween show. We are going to be on the floor of a hotel for like 36, 48, 96, some ungodly amount of hours nonstop.
It's kind of cool though, because 150 will be the recap of the third annual show.
That's exactly what's going to happen. So look for a rewind in 149, and we're going to have a lot of stuff to talk about in 150. And then it's been a while, so I want to go ahead and give myself a shout out. Happy birthday to me on September 29th. I will be spending my birthday with you guys at the Halloween show. That'll be Sunday. So, oh no! I want my cake.
Eat your cake.
All right. Let's see.
First, the old business.
Yeah, imagine if you can find this. This date in 1641, the ship, the Merchant Royal, was carrying over 100,000 pounds of gold.
Jesus.
And it's lost at sea near Land's End.
You know, people have been looking for it.
Oh, they have. They've been looking for it and not finding it. But 100,000 pounds of gold. Like, that just is mind-boggling.
Yeah.
That amount of, you know, whether it's in bars or in coinage or whatever it was, that is, it's worth over $1 billion in today's dollars. Can you imagine what it was worth then? Yeah, God. Okay, on this date in 1899, Nintendo Kapai, which stands for company, is founded. 1889. Founded to produce and market the Hanafuda. You know what that was?
No, I'm curious though.
It was a playing card game.
Okay.
It's like bicycle dealing cards. Like,
okay.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. Like in 1889. And then, of course, Nintendo is still.
They had no idea where they would go to, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know?
That's one of those things about innovation, though, because if you think about, like, they're just like a gaming company, and they saw where gaming was headed,
right?
And just think about like those little, like 4-bit games, like I think the Nintendo Power System was an 8-bit system,
8-bit, yeah.
So those original like 2 and 4-bit, ba-donk, donk, donk, donk. And people seeing potential in that to what we have now, which is basically immersive virtual reality.
Yeah. I remember when 16-bit came out.
It was a big deal.
Yeah, it was a huge deal, man.
All right. In this date, in 1909, the novel Le Fantôme de l'Opéra, which translates roughly to The Phantom of the Opera, is published by Gaston Leroux. 1980, Bob Marley plays his last concert in Pittsburgh.
It was all hugely influential. I mean, I still listen. My kids have been listening to Bob Marley since they were little.
I mean, I've always loved Bob Marley. Bob Marley is one of those.
You can't help but feel good when you're listening to Bob Marley.
I was going to say, yeah, Bob Marley was one of those that. I mean, it's just always around, but it's one of those that's like, it's around. You don't, you know, it's like you've heard these songs before. And then one day somebody's like, oh, hey, you listen to Bob Marley. And you're like, you know, I don't really know if I have. Put on a record. And they play the record. And you're like, I've heard every one of these songs. Mm-hmm. Like, I know these songs. Yeah, okay, that's who's playing them. Because, you know, my parents would listen to them and be on the radio, you know, be at people's houses. And their parents would be like, Bob Marley's.
And what's amazing about it is, like I said, you can't help but feel good with any Bob Marley song. Even his protest songs make you feel good. You know, you got Peter Tosh that can make you angry with some of his protest songs. But then you got the Killer Bees they had some songs that would make you angry. But then you got Bob Marley that everything's just right in the world whenever he's on, dude. It's amazing.
All right. This date in 63 BC, Augustus Caesar was born. Dude had an impact.
Oh, you think?
All right. 1920, comedian Mickey Rooney.
He used to be a huge deal.
Yep. Then he died. Not anymore. 1926, John Coltrane. 1930, Ray Charles.
Hugely influential.
Big time.
And just so talented, man.
You know, it's crazy. It's like, I'm sure you've seen Ray with Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
And apparently that was on a Snopes scale, that was like 98% accurate. Like all the stuff with his heroin and his, you know, like all that stuff. His womanizing, as a kid, he was like Brother Ray. He was like almost like a church minister, right? Like he was like he was so clean cut and old school, and you know, it's like my dad loved Ray Charles, but he was always so grumpy about people that did drugs and caroused. Like, but Dad, Ray did that too. Ray was probably one of the original rock stars, groupies. It was crazy. So, but yeah, Ray Charles, big influence on life.
And he went beyond across genres, man. He has a country album. You know, Ray Charles is just incredibly influential.
1943, Julio Iglesias.
Exciting.
Oh, and he pops up on, as I'm reading down, I'm like, I know that guy for one song.
and having a son.
Willie Nelson, but All the Girls I've Loved Before.
Yeah.
And you think about that as like such a, again, it's like an old, you know, it's something my grandparents and parents. It's talking about going across the country boning chicks because you're a rock star. You're not technically a rock star, but you are, and... like... The scene in Beavis and Butthead where Beavis is all freaking out because he can't get laid. He's like, I'm never gonna get laid. I'm never gonna get some. I'm never gonna score or whatever. And the teacher, the guy on the bus is like, you need to settle down. He's like, shut up. You probably scored and you're old. And the guy's like, oh yeah. I think about that, like Willie Nelson, Julio Iglesias, The Girls I've Loved Before. It's like, everyone's like, dude, I've boned chicks. It's like, me too. We should write a song about that.
Oh, we're speaking of Beavis and Butthead. My daughter, one of her favorite artists right now is a guy named Kid Cudi. Have you ever heard of Kid Cudi? I've heard of Kid Cudi. I'd seen pictures of him before, and I never really listened to the music because I didn't think it would be anything that I'd be into. I thought it was like this modern trap rap stuff that is out right now. But my daughter finally, she sent me, because she had told me that one of his albums, there's all these cut pieces to Beavis and Butthead. He incorporates old Beavis and Butthead clips into his stuff. And she was like, you gotta listen to it. I know you like Beavis and Butthead. So she sent it to me this past Friday. She said, this is your assignment for the weekend. Listen to this album. Dude, if you enjoyed that that grunge type, that early 90s rock, this dude is amazing, dude.
Really?
I mean, I was blown away by his music. I was like, Jesus Christ, why haven't I discovered this person before? So, yeah, my recommendation this week, check out a little bit of Kid Cudi, man.
Is it like hip-hop?
It's not rap at all.
Is it
it's totally not rap. It's rock. It's rock music. But it leans towards a mix of the old industrial stuff and that grunge rock. It's a unique style, I'll find, but it's reminiscent of the stuff we used to enjoy in the early 90s. So.
Yeah, because there's been a lot of throwback stuff. I got so hung up on Gunship that I can't find anything that's as good. Yeah. So I'm like, well, just listen to them. So yeah, anything new.
Kid Cudi, I was very impressed by him.
All right, 1956, Peter David, if you like Seinfeld or Curb Your Enthusiasm, dude's
he's
insane.
Good.
He's hilarious. And speaking of Peter David, 1959, Jason Alexander.
That's interesting.
The guy who basically, they share a birthday, but basically Jason Alexander played Peter David on Seinfeld.
Yeah.
George was a caricature of Peter David.
Yeah.
That show was so good.
Seinfeld? Yeah.
Dude. And it's funny, have you seen Seinfeld's show, Comedians in Cars with Coffee?
Yes. Yeah. I've seen a couple of them.
Like, Seinfeld's real big on comedy. Comedy, just being funny.
Yeah.
Like and it's like, every now and then you'll have one of the comedians will start talking about something serious, and you see Jerry like starts shaking his head like, no, we're not going in that direction. Jerry Seinfeld did that to Jerry Lewis. Jerry Seinfeld was sitting at coffee with Jerry Lewis and talking about like where did the hey lady come from and like different stuff, and then Jerry Lewis started talking because he did that telethon for
and
told us about the little boy that came in and it was like he was 14, wasn't going to see 15, and Jerry's like, no, this is a comedy show, we're not going to talk about that. He's like, oh, he shut down Jerry Lewis. I'm like, honestly, I mean, I respect that too, because sometimes you know it's like the tears of the clown. It's interesting, but you don't want it all the time.
Right.
And Seinfeld, he's like, when he's putting together the Seinfeld show, he's like, we're not going to have any special episodes. There's not going to be any drama. There's not going to be any pensive looks.
Comedy.
Like, it's funny, and anything serious that happens has to have something that twists it and makes it funny at the end.
Yeah.
Like, it cannot, we're not going serious at all. It's funny.
The only thing I hate is I discovered Seinfeld once it was in syndication.
Mm.
When it was first on the air, I never watched it. But once I discovered it, I had to watch every single episode.
It's,
and there's a lot of episodes.
There's a lot of them. Dude, it was just so good. All right. On this date, 1939, we lost Sigmund Freud, psychoanalyst.
Oh, Ziggy.
And in 1994, we lost Robert Bloch, who wrote Psycho.
Okay.
That's it for the old business. Let's get into the new. We got to get back to work, man.
13th, an all-new three-dimensional process will put you in the picture, whether you want to be there or not. Friday the 13th, Part 3 in Super 3D. Join Jason in the woods on his day, if you dare. Friday the 13th, Part 3 in Super 3D. Rated R.
Starts Friday the 13th in Sacramento. Check newspapers for theaters.
Okay.
New business is new business, and this is new business.
All right. Have you read these articles recently about these two young students who, the students named Jenny Yao and Miranda Wang, who have been working on this since they were in high school, but they've developed what they feel is a bacteria that will help destroy the plastic in the oceans. Okay. You know, the oceans are very polluted with plastics. There's, you know, there's all kind of movements. My kids are involved with all kind of movements trying to, you know, they bought these bracelets. There's supposed to be some group that is trying to help clean the oceans up. They my kids go to Starbucks and they refuse to use straws. They take the tops off and they drink out, you know, the old fashioned way. Yeah, I'm there with a straw, like pointing at them. Ah, you fell on your face. You got doused in the nose with the frozen stuff. But they developed this bacteria that in water eats plastic and converts the plastic to CO2 and water. Everybody's going nuts about this. They've won several awards for it. They've achieved financing of $400,000 to go ahead and go to the next step of this project. They've got patents on it and everything. But then I started thinking, is it really a good idea to release a bacteria into the ocean that is going to convert all plastic to CO2 and water? One, is it going to raise the CO2 levels? We have an issue with CO2 levels now. Is it going to raise the CO2 levels in the ocean enough to where it's going to become an invasive species, basically?
Start killing all fish. Start eating boats and shit.
Well, then I was thinking, think about the flesh-eating bacteria. Will this evolve into something that, you know, once it runs out of plastics, it's going to go after the fish? You know, is this really a good idea? I know you want to save the earth, but sometimes you shouldn't toy with stuff like that. You know, let's look at some other things. But yeah, so it was huge news. People are going nuts over it, thinking that they're, you know, incredible, that it's a breakthrough technology. But yeah, it's some things, you know, they shouldn't be done. All right. We're in Australia recently. We're going to go back to Australia. A story of this woman. She was a... This is just a sad story. It's, you know how we talk about animals that kill? Remember roosters weren't on that list?
They were not.
Woman from South Australia. She was out feeding her chickens. And she was just walking around throwing seed everywhere. And her pet rooster kept pecking at her feet. Well, this rooster hit a varicose vein, busted it open. Woman bled to death out in the chicken coop.
Oh, no.
How crazy is that? Elderly woman from South Australia, she died after the rooster's beak reportedly punctured a varicose vein and caused it to bleed profusely. She suffered numerous other injuries, but the cause of death has been reported as bleeding, which could not be stopped. They've not reported on her identity. A public warning has been issued on the dangers of seemingly harmless animals. So yeah, we can add roosters to our list next time we revisit that show, that roosters are deadly.
Roosters are assholes.
Okay, North Carolina man, he was out in the woods in North Carolina when he shot video 2 weeks ago while retrieving his game cameras he had set up in the wooded area of McDowell County. He said he was walking back to his truck with his dog, Crazy Daisy, name of said dog, when the encounter happened. A rock got thrown from somewhere, and his dog took off after it. He kind of stopped. He says he just took his phone out and started looking around the hill and videotaped three Bigfoots that were watching him from afar.
Okay.
So he has 10-minute videos of the encounter with these three Bigfoots in the hills of North Carolina walking around. Now, the thing about it is, when I saw this story, I was like, man, that is kind of cool. Then I started thinking, why would you pull your camera out because your dog ran after a rock?
Right.
And then I looked. He's a member of the Catawba Valley Bigfoot Research Club in McDowell County. So, yeah, his things. I'm picturing he got some of his friends together, said, hey, y'all go up behind those trees.
Y'all go Bigfoot.
No. When I throw this rock, peek around the side, and I'll be ready to videotape you guys. So, yeah, I got excited at first because I thought this guy might have found a family of Bigfoots walking around. Okay, you know all the stupid chicken sandwich stuff that's been going on between Popeyes and Chick-fil-A? A man in Tennessee, an East Ridge man, has filed a civil summons in county court against Popeyes Chicken because he's not happy about his repeated trips to the fast food restaurant only to find they were out of their new crispy chicken sandwiches. So Popeyes is actually being sued by someone because they ran out of chicken sandwiches. He is claiming them for false advertising, deceptive business practices by entity, for the countless time wasted driving to and from Popeyes with no chicken sandwich. It's getting serious, dude.
So, dude,
it's the stupidest shit. I remember having a Popeyes chicken sandwich like last year.
Yeah, I don't is it like, I don't know if they added a new condiment or something.
No, it just all of a sudden people started trying to compare the two. They've
yeah, it's kind of like an internet thing.
Yeah,
because I go to Popeyes all the time, like just as I get like their chicken tenders or whatever. It's mm-hmm. a quick, just drive through meal, yeah. And Popeyes.
You can eat in a row.
Yeah, and like. Went up, you know, pulled up to one day, and they've got this, like, sign on the thing. It's like, sorry, we're out of chicken sandwiches. And it's, like, a sign on the order thing. It's a sign on the menu. And it's a sign on the window. It's like, we don't have this shit. And I'm like, why would you need three signs? Like, this is before I realized all the beef.
People are going nuts, yeah.
I'm like, why do, like, okay. So I'm driving, and, like, down the road, I see a Chick-fil-A. And on their marquee says, we have chicken sandwiches. And there's people in a, like, Chick-fil-A always has a line. I'm sitting there being like, okay, what is it, chicken sandwich day? Like, Popeyes have like free ones or something? Like, I really didn't know. And then I got home that day and I saw all the memes and was just like, okay, this is bizarre. Like, okay.
Okay, let's take a trip down to Florida. You're going to love this story. Okay. Joseph Cerecci, 48, is scheduled for an October 14th probation violation hearing in Fort Pierce, Florida. He's locked up without bond in county jail. You're going to just laugh so hard at this. Oh, that was his first arrest. I apologize for that. He was arrested last year for battering his 54-year-old living girlfriend. The woman told cops she came home from work one evening to find him drunk laying on the living room floor. Earlier in the day, the woman wrote in a witness statement that he called her work and said, order me a pizza, bitch, now. Okay, so the day didn't start off well for him. She got home. Next thing you know, they got in an argument.
He was arguing with her and being rude, began grabbing her hand, pulling her arm, and then he started continuously giving her wet willies. When questioned by the cops, he admitted that he gave a wet willy, but didn't mean to upset her. Because his rap sheet includes a burglary conviction, he has now been charged with felony battery for giving the lady a wet willy. Could you imagine? Hey, dude, what you serving time for? I gave my girlfriend a wet willy. It's not the thing you wanted to have on your record while you're in the federal penitentiary.
Right.
He's been accused of a felony for giving. Did you know that a wet willy could be considered bad?
I did not.
Yes.
I mean, nothing would surprise me, but that's the thing is, obviously, I know bad things happen to good people, and I know, you know, good things happen to bad people. If you got a felony on your record,
try to stay the straight and narrow.
Yeah. Like, try not to piss off your girlfriend too much. You know, it's like they're talking with all this, like, gun control stuff, like the red flag laws.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why that's frightening is because your neighbor, who we talked about last week, who's just a random bitch for no reason,
uh-huh.
You know, she's like, hey, your dog's out. And you're like, shut up, bitch. And she calls the feds and is like, this guy's unstable. You know, it's like, okay, so you don't say shut up, bitch, to the mean neighbor. You just say...
Because you got to... Yeah, you just de-escalate the situation.
You just wave and smile and then grumble about it later. Like, you don't... Wow.
See, yeah, that's what I got.
I will not be giving my wife a wet willy later.
Especially if she's angry and she hasn't ordered you that pizza that you requested earlier.
All right, we'll be right back.
There's fun to be had if you're at Scary Dad. Sit in on ghoulish authors' workshops or shudder at the creepy artist alley at Scary Dad. Halloween is right around the corner. Gather your friends and fiends. We'll be seeing you at Scary Dad.
All right, and we are back.
Yes, we are.
Okay, so first of all, the exhibitor table. I've turned down so many vendors that wanted to sell weird stuff that we just don't. I mean, this is a horror convention, so it has been a pain in the ass to cultivate an actual horror exhibition room because people call you and be like, "Oh, hey, I sell this." And it's like, okay, well, that's a nice thing, and that's really cool if this was a mainstream show. But if this was Comic Palooza,
you could take everybody.
But, you know, this one we're looking for kind of a horror event. So, man, some of the stuff we've got, I cannot go by a list because we've got so many of them, but some of the great things we got going on. But a special shout out to Janet Guerrero was so creepy.
Mm-hmm.
She started last year at our show doing. She sews like little felt dolls,
and they're cool.
And they're
unique. They're awesome.
Yeah, and think in terms of like the Funko Pops, how they take this little kind of standard big headed little doll, and they paint it up to where it resembles a horror character. So all the Funko Pops look like Funko Pops. But then they have like the blonde hair or the helmet or the mask or the monocle or whatever it is that sets them apart from as their characters. She does that with felt dolls and she's the stuff that she makes. And she started doing wood burning. She's got some little novelty stuff. And then on her website, she's got on her Facebook page, she's got a gizmo. That gizmo's life size.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he's about like 10 inches tall.
It's pretty awesome, too. It looks great.
It's super cool. So I saw her out at a show the other day, and she had her inventory. She says, yeah, I need to build some more inventory before the Halloween show, and it was doing everything I could not to buy like three or four things right there. So we've got several artists coming on board. We've got a lot of authors going to be signing books.
We've got a comic book publisher.
We do. We've got a comic book store. We've got Lenore's coming back. Yes. They always have the newest and the best of like the Nika.
Just incredible, incredible collectibles.
And the Mezco stuff. I mean, so if you're looking for like the modern collectible stuff, they've got it all.
Looking to get some stuff to get signed at Texas Frightmare Weekend, that's the booth to stop at.
Exactly. Who else? We've got a really cool like gem and jewelry vendor coming out. We've got what's the best way to describe it? Artsy craft type stuff that is unique and just extra. Like, you can't get it anywhere else but these particular people because they make what they make and nobody makes it like they do. Hit our website for a list of the exhibitors.
Tom Martino's going to be out there selling custom design masks that he makes himself in his workshop. They're unique. They're one of a kind. They're made by him. They're not bought from a factory or something like that.
Right.
He puts a lot of time into these masks. He paints them by hand.
He sculpts the clay. He pours the stuff into the bucket. He makes the molds. He makes the masks, and he paints them. And it's a multi-step process, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's really, really cool. And his masks are like really thick, heavy-duty type stuff. They're not going to tear whenever you pull them over your head.
Yeah.
So... you know, we're going to have meet and greets with the filmmakers. Some of them will be manning tables whenever they're not upstairs doing panels, so you'll get to buy some of their DVDs, get some signed books, signed movies, photo ops. We're going to have the guys from Purgatory Scream Park, the Scream Park formerly known as Kingwood Asylum. They had a name change, and they remodeled their haunt. They're actually bringing in a lot of the stuff that they're not using at their haunt this year to decorate up Halloween show for us, and they will have the Stranger Things photo booth, which is a mock-up of the inside of Joyce Byers' home from Stranger Things season one, where she had the Christmas light Ouija board on the wall.
Yeah.
So you can come in and sit down, take pictures with the clowns, just take pictures with your family on Joyce's couch. It's really cool. Upstairs into the haunt room, I'm not going to necessarily put it in any particular order because it's just so awesome, but we are going to have the haunters from Purgatory, the 916 Productions, coming out and show you how to haunt your house like a pro. So if you are a home haunter or a hobbyist haunter, whether you do indoor or outdoor haunt type stuff, they're going to show you how to take materials that you can buy at like Home Depot, you know, wood, foam, and paint, and turn that into a dungeon scene or, you know, whatever else it is. On the flip side of that, we've got a semi-pro home haunter. And when I say semi-pro, it's because his quality is as good as anybody I've ever seen, but he
does it for the love of it.
He does it for home. He's about to go pro. He's looking for land to buy. To set up a haunt for next year, but Craig Watt from Fiendswood, the Fiendswood park in Friendswood, so he'll be showing you how to do fog lights and a full home haunt setup, and how you can again haunt your house like the pros. Because he haunts his house like the pros.
Yeah,
I mean, the stuff he makes is incredible. We'll have some consultations from our buddy Trace, who runs the Shady Manor home haunt out in Katy, which is a charity haunt. And Trace has been a friend of ours for as long as we've been doing it, right? So I don't know if he's actually going to be doing panels, but he will be bringing in some props and special effects and helping us out.
I'm sure he'll be cosplaying too in some of his costumes. So.
We will have Spooky Little Halloween, Miranda Enzor. If you've never seen the Spooky Little Halloween blog, I'm going to use two adjectives. The first one is amazing. The second one is prolific. Miranda has so much content on her website as to Halloween traditions and parties and planning and ideas and projects and crafts and so many different cool stuff. You sit there and read it for hours. I mean, it's just like I was looking for some stuff to kind of promote and share on Facebook, and I got stuck in a hole and was just like, ended up spending a whole evening reading articles. She'll be doing a discussion on how to plan and throw
the perfect Halloween
party. And from what I've read in her article, she knows that exactly what the hell she's talking about, because it's really, really cool. Mm-hmm. So you do not want to miss that. We also have Amy Jordan coming in to do a workshop on haunt acting. So whether you are going into to be a scare actor at a professional haunt, or if you just want to scare some kids at your home haunt, she was going to come in and kind of teach you how to up your game on your haunt acting side. Let's see, what else do we have in the haunt room? We have got two of our brother podcasts coming in.
You know, that's one thing. I don't know if you get this a lot, but whenever people find out that a co-host of a podcast, they immediately say, I've always wanted to do that. You know, what do I need to get started? You know, I would love to do that. You know, how do you do it? So on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And
so we've got a battle royale between two of our buddies. We've got Sirenicide in this corner, and we've got the Horror Returns in that corner. And they are going to come to blows, not literal. They're going to come in and they're going to tell you how to get started on a podcast, from idea to monetization.
Yep.
And what's cool about it is Johnny and Sirenicide, they do an audio drama style podcast, which has a lot of production, sound effects, and writing and editing and all kinds of production elements. And the Horror Returns podcast is a discussion podcast similar to ours, except they watch a lot of the new movies that first come out, like the day they come out. They compare them, like the remakes to the originals. Uh-huh. They do a lot more research than Scary Dad does. But it's two different kinds of podcasts, but both of them are extremely popular with their fans. So they can tell you in a kind of nuts and bolts way, if you want to start a podcast, here's how to start sewing that monster together.
Right.
And they got all kinds of unique insights from two completely different worlds of podcasting. And I'm interested to see what they present, because right, it's going
to
be awesome.
And it'll be broken up into two different workshops. So there's plenty of time for them to answer the questions you want and for them to spend on the topics that they want to cover. You know, the first one is going to be podcasting 101, from idea to broadcast. You know, you got an idea of the podcast, you can envision what you want to do. What do you need to do to take that idea to an actual podcast that's available for the public? And then once you get started, they're going to have podcasting 102, from broadcast to Patreon. Once you get started with your podcast, how to get it to grow, how to market it, how to fund it, you know, how to achieve what you want to achieve.
Then moving on into the other room, we have got one of our featured guests that is absolutely amazing. She'll be here on both days. But Mariana Lowry. Mariana Lowry is a makeup artist who, it's what she does for a living. She does hair and makeup, but she also does face paint. She does cosplay. She does costuming. She does body paint. She does prosthetics. She does special effects makeup. And the stuff that she's got going on is just... She's doing six panels over 2 days.
Yep.
She's got models and volunteers that are going to come in and sit for their makeovers, essentially, while she's talking to you about what she's doing and how to do it, from equipment and product to application and technique. So we're going to start off with cosplay and makeup, making it long lasting so it doesn't come off halfway through the day. The basics to Halloween prosthetics, cosplay body paint, cosplay body paint, brush, sponge, and airbrush applications, making your face stand out with makeup, and makeup tools and how to use them. So these are going to be 6 different workshops over 2 days for the aspiring makeup artist, special effects person. I'm just thinking once she gets in touch with some of these writers and filmmakers, kind of what kind of stuff is going to come out of that. Then we also have Cindy Salvis coming out. She is... she kind of made some waves because she was the first one to actually throw, like, everybody said they should, but she's the first one that actually did the Mary Poppins.
She actually she literally put that costume together a week after the movie premiered.
From Guardians of the Galaxy 2, the Mary Poppins,
Yondu
Mary Poppins cosplay. And she got a lot of feedback from the national cosplay community. She basically started a trend. She's famous locally here because she can take almost nothing and turn it into a costume.
Within 24 hours, she can come up with a screen accurate portrayal of a character. It's amazing.
She does stuff with makeup. She does stuff with hair. She does, and it's all on herself.
She does her own sewing.
Exactly, and she's known as Chameleon because she just takes an idea and she goes and knocks it out. And if you look at her Facebook, I mean, the fact is, I've actually met Cindy like 3 or 4 times in person and not known it was her. She's been dressed as something, and I'm like, oh hey, you know what's up? I'm like, wait.
She's actually been volunteering for me at the airport for Comicpalooza for about 3 years now. Because we interviewed her, actually, whenever I was doing interviews on the floor of Comicpalooza that year. Mm-hmm. And she was Yondu Mary Poppins. I interviewed her that day for the show. She's such a sweet girl. She, like I said, just talented.
But she's going to be showing you how to do quick and screen-accurate cosplays on a budget.
Yes.
Which is great, especially if you're somebody like me. I've got 2 kids, and they change their minds. So you're like, hey, you're going to be like this. You don't want to spend $400 on a Batman costume. You want to be able to whip that up out of your closet, you know. Right. Then we got Airthrax. That's Randy and his group of cosplayers coming out to do the air guitar heavy metal.
And they're going to be doing a discussion on air guitar. Ilarachi, as he is also known, it's a passion of his that he loves very much. And he's going to do some demonstrations. The group is going to do a demonstration. And he loves some air guitar.
And then we're going to do the cosplay contest. Do not get confused. It is a costume contest for a Halloween party. A cosplay contest for cosplayers, adults and children. We're gonna have several different contests throughout the weekend.
Yes.
If you're someone who would put a box on your head last minute and go to a Halloween party and just be funny box head man, and you're intimidated by the idea of cosplayers who do this stuff pro or semi-pro, don't be.
Yeah, they're going to have their thing.
They're going to have their thing. We have it all segmented out so that everybody has a chance to have fun.
You'll have your good old-fashioned Scary Dad costume contest as we've always had also. Right.
We are upping the game on the event. We are not upping the game on the contests. I mean, it's fun. And it's all in fun.
Yeah.
And there's always, I mean... Just because you put money into something doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win.
Yes.
So, it's one of those things. We just want you to come out. We want you to dress up. We want you to have a good time.
Yeah.
And that's the list for right now, man. It's a long one, getting longer. But we need to get back to work. We got some things we need to put together. We got a couple more of these. This is not even a complete list.
Yeah, we still have some more content that's going to be added.
But yeah, that's what we got now, and we're a week away from the show. Well, actually, technically, we're 2 weeks away now, but we're a week out. So since we recorded this, we've probably got more stuff to talk to you about. We got over 30 special guests coming in. We got over 30 vendors.
Make sure to check out the website for updates and information.
And let me throw down our final sponsor. That is the Purgatory Scream Park. They're the ones providing the clowns, they're providing decorations, and they're providing the Stranger Things photo op.
They've been a big part of the show since the beginning.
They will be
appreciated so much.
Yeah, they will be handing out VIP tickets to their haunt as well, to our guests through contests and stuff. Don't forget, we also have door prizes in addition to the costume contests. The Horror Jeopardy,
yes,
that Scott's going to be hosting, where you can win vouchers to spend with our vendors. We're going to have Scary Monsters and Super Freaks everywhere. It's going to be a blast. I mean, this show is positioned to be a gateway to the holiday season. Mm-hmm. And when I say holidays, everybody likes to get all their bitchy panties in a wad over Christmas decorations in stores or you know, Halloween being underlooked. It's not being underlooked. We're making it happen. So yeah. it's we can't wait. We'll see you there September 28th and 29th. And next week will be a throwback, and the following week will be a recap. Keep it scary.
Later.
Something last night in my sleep. It's a dead man.